History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by Provident Payments, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are stories there that should not go untold. And they don't have to go untold as long as we're willing to ask a few questions and then listen patiently as memories start to emerge from the shadows. Our goal has always been, first and foremost, to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice, but also to preserve their stories so the rest of us never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along that journey, not only do we end up educated, not only are we entertained, but so often we find ourselves inspired by these stories from men and women who have served our country. The story we're going to hear today is certainly unique, but before we dive in, just a little addendum to our last episode, which focused on the 80th anniversary of the sinking of the USS Hornet. This past Wednesday, October 26th, was that anniversary, and 100-year-old Bob Cole, whose story you heard last time, spent the afternoon at the Veterans Memorial Museum, home of the Legion of Valor in Fresno, California, where a large-scale model of his ship anchors a display on the Doolittle Raid, complete with a uniform and flight goggles worn aboard the Hornet by Jimmy Doolittle himself. Bob shared his story there with every major TV, radio, and print outlet from the area, and as a result, he is now reconnected with quite a few old friends. He's also fielding requests from around the country as that news started to spread, and it may be that he is the last living survivor of the Hornet sinking 80 years ago. The Hornet Association has no current records of any others. If you missed that program last time, you can find the podcast at hometownheroesradio.com. You'll also find links to some of the news coverage Bob generated on that 80th anniversary. And who knows, there may be some further developments in the days ahead. But I just want to say thank you to everyone who made that 80th anniversary so meaningful for Bob. The story we have the privilege of listening to today is quite a bit different. We're going to meet an Army veteran who recently returned from an honor flight to Washington, D.C., and we're going to be reminded again that those who appreciate the freedom we have as Americans the most are those who have had to live in its absence. That's the case for the dozens of prisoners of war we've met on Hometown Heroes over the years, but this is not an ex-POW. It's someone whose family dealt with religious persecution and had to live as exiles. 92-year-old Jacob Volkov earned his citizenship by serving as an Army medic during the Korean War. He later became a longtime educator in the Stockton, California area. He's written about the unique journey his life represents in the book Trekking Through Trials, which I have linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com. The story of his family's life as exiles goes back to before the Russian Revolution.
Before the communists came to Russia, owning or reading a Bible was considered a crime in Russia. There were some people who secretly kept Bibles. Towards the end of the 19th century, in 1800s, there was a little permission to own Bibles. But even that one had to buy on a black market and read it silently. And it's a strange thing, Paul, when you say something is forbidden more than anything else. People want to find out why. And my people thought, heard all their lives, why was Bible forbidden to be read? So they got the Bibles and started reading, and they discovered that the state religion in Russia, the Bible, contradicted some of the beliefs of the state religion, that it was man-made, man-blessed. And so our people decided we're going to celebrate or accept only those holidays that are in the Bible and blessed by God. So we broke away from the state religion and we were punished for it. To begin with, my grandparents and many other people in that group were sent. Russia was a big, big country and very much unstable. People crossing the border back and forth without permission. So sometimes it was illegal, and some people who were not accepted in Russia crossed the border. So because we violated state and religion were one. So whatever the state dictated, the religion accepted, and vice versa. We will call it the Sabbath keepers because they read and they came to a conclusion that Sunday is a man's made religion. We said we're not going to acknowledge it. So they came to the conclusion that the seventh day, Saturday or Sabbath, was the one. So we accepted that, and we were laughed at, called as Jews. And sometimes among those people, calling someone a Jew was derogatory. And someone called the Sabbatarians, just called Subotniki. Saturday in Russia is Subota, Sabbath. And that's what they called us. And when we came to Iran, at first to Persia, and there were some people there, not Russians, but who lived in Russia and became Seventh-day Adventists. Mm-hmm. So they heard of some, this Russian village called Rahmat Abad. They heard of us. And they sent a missionary, a Seventh-day Adventist, and they got all these Sabbath-keeping people and preached to us their holidays, and our holidays somewhat were alike. So we were close to each other, and by their preaching and explaining, most of us accepted Seventh-day Adventist. That's what I am right now.
So you are the 10th of 10 children, but tell me where you were born and why you didn't get to stay there very long.
First, we were sent to Turkish border. And during the Russian war with Japan and also World War I and war with Japan, we were called Christians, but not very popular. By the way, most of the people that were in Rahmat Abad, this Rahmat Abad, were Moluccans. We were the minorities. What I started to tell you is that when people are suffering hardship, they unite against their problem. They forget the differences in religion or beliefs. And when they become free and started making good life, there was enmity. And there was that friendship that was during a hard time disappears, and people become enemies. In peacetime, when they should rejoice, but they were very united under hardships.
So I guess as far as your family goes, since you are the 10th out of 10, your parents had lived in Russia before the Tsar was deposed and communism came in, right? So they experienced all that in the advent of communism, and had they had to move a couple times before you were born?
It started after the persecution of the people who owned the Bible was lessened. And that's when people started studying the Bible. Why was it punished? That's when they rejected the state religion. And that's what my grandparents did. And because the membership that began breaking away from the state religion, well, the church complained, what are we going to do with these people? So they said, well, the best thing to do is to exile them away from large cities. So the best way was to send them to weak borders, and there was that kind of a border with Turkey. So they sent us there the first time for us.
And this is before you were born?
Before I was born, yes. Well, you see, we were not criminals. We were not thieves or involved in crime of any kind, but just believed differently. So they didn't send us to Siberia, but to a place away from civilization.
And this is all because your family disagreed with the Russian Orthodox Church?
Correct. And so when the Russian people went to the Far East during the war with Japan, that place where we escaped was a good land, and it was owned as a capital by various countries and various rich people. There were Persians, now Iranians. There were Armenians. There were other countries who took that place. We called it Rahmat Abad. Okay, so it means peaceful ville in Russian.
But you were born in what would now be Turkmenistan. And that was, so you were born there, but before you turned one, your family had to move again because you were chased out at that point.
Yes, you know, because Turkish people invaded the Rahmat Abad because they had owned it once before. The Turks were very good to us. They came to us and gave us three choices. We could remain in Turkey, accept Turkish citizenship and live there freely. Or we could return back to Russia from where we were exiled. And if we didn't like either place, we could go to anywhere in the world. The relatives of my mother's side at the beginning of the 20th century moved to America. Because my uncles were in the military service, my father said, we're not going to go to America because our sons are in the military and their families, their wives and children, are living with us. We don't want to leave them just for nobody, and we cannot separate husbands from wives and move them to America with us. We're going to go back where from whence we were exiled.
So your uncles were in the Russian military?
Yes.
So if you all moved to America, then you're separating those families because the husbands are still in Russia serving for the Russian army and the wives are in America?
Correct. There were a lot of us. When we returned back to the place, it was a central Russia, and people who were born there were called the Great Russians. It was a big known spot where Russia was Russia. So the church said, we don't want you. You go back where you came from. We said, this was our home. We were sent from them. We are returning home. And they said, I'm sorry. So they went to the state and they explained to them why we were exiled. So they agreed with the church. So they sent us to Turkmenistan that borders with, at that time, with Persia. And again, each time we were exiled, these religious people decided to pray all together, pray to one God, and they fasted and asked God, said, Lord, we have problems, help us. And their exile, because the state and the church did not bother us because we were somewhere way out where we were not reached. Communists started with main cities. And eventually communists started growing geographically, taking places where these Russian people lived and they did not have the state religion or state politics. So they came there, and hardworking people, we were all farmers. We started living very well. And to send us to a different place rather than the place where we wanted to go originally, they sent us to Turkmenistan. Our men who were in the military service discharged them from military and sent them home, a blessing to us. The land was very good for those who worked in lumber. And there was a good land where we had farming to do. And we started living very well. And some became kind of wealthy. And the communists came. Religious? No. Rich people? No. And they said, accept communism or we will take your Russian citizenship. And they told us, now you know how we treat non-citizens. You might be sent to a worse place than you sent earlier, which meant to us Siberia. Elders got together of all religions and they decided what to do. Someone suggested escape to Persia and they agreed. They sent some people who spoke some Persian. How they got that knowledge, I don't know. And they went to meet the border guards and with bribe they let us come in. So we again came and started living freely.
And so you were not quite 1 year old when your family crossed the border into Persia, present-day Iran. It sounds like you have some perspective on the significance of that decision that your family made. Because you weren't making the decision, you were a baby. What was the significance of that decision? How different do you think your life might have been had they made a different decision?
They were escaping the plight of losing Russian citizenship and being treated as a foreigner and could have been sent to Siberia.
And spell it out for us. What would that have meant if your family was sent to Siberia? Would that have changed your outcome or your life expectancy?
We were thinking that, but primarily we would have been taken our religion and forced communism. Those two things were the ones that stood in our way.
You know, I've interviewed over 1,000 World War II veterans, and usually I'm talking to them about December 7th, 1941, and how they remember the day America got in the war. You know, maybe they served in the Pacific or in Europe or in China, Burma, India. But I'm just curious about your experience because you were coming of age during World War II. You know, you were 9 when it started in Europe and you were 15 or so, I guess, when it all ended. What was your view or experience of World War II in Persia?
Actually, to tell you the truth, we lived in a different country. We lived in a Russian village. We had no contact with the foreign news. Only a few people who went to the city and they found that Russia was in war with Germany. And they would come to our village and announce that. And I remember my family cried that Russia, that Germany invaded Russia. No, they ran away from Russia because they were going to be punished for their religion. And now, living free, absolutely free, and knowing that their Russia, the Russian people, were being invaded by the Germans, they cried. And we didn't know anything about it. I didn't know, except for what people heard, and they just said, okay, Germany invaded this city, that city, almost coming to Moscow.
So while so many people's lives were affected by World War II, on a daily basis, it sounds like yours really wasn't. You were isolated enough that it didn't have a big effect on you?
Absolutely. That's right. We just only heard from people who got the news from somebody else. Mm-hmm. And how much of the truth there was, I was skeptical about it. I didn't believe them.
Well, all the twists and turns that this 92-year-old Army veteran's story has taken can be a little hard to believe, too. Jacob Volkov is our guest today. We have his book, Trekking Through Trials, linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com, as well as the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook. And when we come back, how this Russian exile ended up in America and a few other developments you probably wouldn't anticipate. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.